Recently, we heard how the NBA held two successful basketball seasons during this pandemic by taking the advice of medical professionals. But 3 weeks away from the start of this new season, a vocal minority of unvaccinated players are influencing league policy and their fellow teammates. Let's bring in Matt Sullivan. He's a writer for Rolling Stone, as well as the author of Can't Knock the Hustle, and he's been covering this. Matt, welcome.
I appreciate you having me, Tanya.
Yeah. So you've been reporting that about 50 to 60 players are unvaccinated. That's about 10% of all NBA players. Are they against this vaccine entirely or just hesitant?
The NBA says it's up to 95% vaccinated. So we're talking more like 30 guys at this point. Yeah. And while the NBA league office remains 100% committed to the vaccine and to science, the NBA Players Association, which is really one of the most powerful unions in the country, they took a stance this summer that a mandate for player shots was, quote, a non-starter. So the vaccine deniers in many ways are kind of running the show now. And once again, the NBA finds itself on a real parallel road for our culture, except this time, I don't know, it's not speeding ahead in the name of activism or progress so much as fake news. It's almost like some DeLorean time machine kind of heading backward to the beginning of the pandemic when, as one doctor told me in reporting for my book, you know, some NBA players didn't even believe the virus was real.
Yeah, I want to break this down with you. Let's start with some of those places where there are vaccine mandates. New York City and San Francisco require vaccines for everyone over 12 who attends games in person at those arenas. And everyone's basically watching to see what players show up. The NBA is saying they won't pay players for missed games. I'm wondering from you, do you think this is a big enough motivator for that handful of players to get vaccinated? Your thoughts on this approach?
Well, take someone like Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets superstar who, you may recall, once said the earth is flat. But he's also the guy who bought a house for the family of George Floyd last summer while kind of simultaneously trying to boycott that NBA bubble to go protest instead. Except Irving also sits on the board of this NBA Players Union, which kind of has to support Irving's own kind of pseudo protest on behalf of personal freedom, right? So it's kind of like so much for America's most progressive sports league. Well, as you say, now come in America's most progressive cities to almost rescue the day by putting stars like Kyrie on notice. So he may simply refuse to play for his home games here in Brooklyn. I think that'll be a true acid test from this very heady dude, to see whether influencers have kind of gone rogue here.
Okay, so Kyrie Irving is on one side. And then this week, a lot of attention was on LeBron James after he and the league basically refused to say whether or not he had the shot. We now know that he is vaccinated. In a press conference, he said he overcame his initial skepticism. Let's listen.
You guys should know me. Anything that I talk about, I don't talk about other people and what they should do. I speak for me and for my family, and that's what it's about.
LeBron there stopped short of advocating for others to get the vaccine. He talked about how this was important for he and his family. Is it the responsibility of leaders like LeBron to basically change the minds of holdouts like Irving? Kind of set this up for us here.
LeBron also said in that same press conference that it's, quote, not my job to tell colleagues what to put in their bodies. He says, quote, we're not talking about something that's political or racism or police brutality. Well, I think as we all know, the vaccine has certainly become politicized. I mean, when Ted Cruz is on your side, you know that the tables have turned here on an otherwise allegedly progressive sports league. But listen, Tanya, as I detail in my book, there are limitations to influence, right? LeBron and his teammates were there wearing hoodies in solidarity with the family of Trayvon Martin nearly 10 years ago. But LeBron wasn't there for the family of Tamir Rice, the boy who was killed just miles from LeBron's home arena in Cleveland. And he refused to speak out on foreign policy 2 years ago this time when his Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets kind of got stuck in China in the middle of an international imbroglio over protesters in Hong Kong. I'm not educated enough. That is LeBron's go-to line. And I think the difference now as players, you know, continue as usual to follow LeBron's lead about a, quote, personal decision is whether I'm not educated enough or it's not political becomes an excuse or an abdication. And it may be that this particular issue, which just so happens to be the greatest public health crisis of our time, is one of those political issues that our influencers in the sports world simply refuse to lead on.
Right, because Matt, I mean, the reality is a lot of people look up to these players. We've been having this debate for generations about whether sports figures are role models. But what impact do you believe overall this debate might be having on America's fight to get people vaccinated? Because people do listen to sports figures.
You know, I go back to the beginning of my book, and I was kind of exploring this Kyrie thinks the earth is flat conspiracy. And I reached out to Instagram, and they were telling me that, you know, teenagers, everyone on Instagram paid more attention to Kyrie Irving than even Donald Trump when he was allowed on Instagram anyway. I personally worry about kind of a cycle of influence being churned by our cycle of misinformation. And so if we reflect that part of society, you know, the tables have really switched to straight up vaccine deniers in our midst here, influencing in a kind of backwards way.
That was Matt Sullivan, writer for Rolling Stone and author of Can't Knock the Hustle. Matt, thank you so much.
Appreciate you.